who are just joining us for the first time. First of all, thank you. Thanks for coming. Welcome. We only had one shiur so far. But the Vilna Gaon, in his Kedarko Bekodesh, in his very cryptic style, left us an explanation of, as the title of this edition says, which is how it was originally printed, Chidushi HaGra Al Kama Agados. The Vilna Gaon's commentary on several passages of the Agadata. And I thought it would be kedai to learn, since I know a lot of the chavers learning Bava Basra this year. So some of the most fantastic and wondrous agaritas are found in Bava Basra. In Bava Basra, in Perak HaMocher HaSasvina. It like, jumps into it very quickly. Yeah, sure. It jumps into it very quickly. It starts off saying, if a person sells the boat, here's what comes along with the boat, here's what doesn't come along with the boat. And next thing you know, Rav Barbar Chana is taking us on these crazy adventures out on the ocean. And I mentioned in the first year, I think, that Rabbi Nachman, the very beginning of Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, also has explanations of these agaritas. So maybe, I guess we'll see, maybe we'll, second semester or something, we'll learn Rabbi Nachman on the agarita. But there's a lot here, so I don't know if we'll really get to that. I just like to say it because I know it gets some people excited. Okay, so let's learn. Okay, so first let's read the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba. Rabba, which is Rabba Bar Barchana, said the following. Ishto li nechuse yama. Okay, we're on the top of the page, the top paragraph. Ishto li nechuse yama. Those who go down to the sea, meaning the people who work on ships, ishto li, they told me the following. This is what they shared with me. They told me that ben gala legala tlos mea parsi. That between one gal, between one wave and the next wave, there are 300 parsa. How big is a parsa? Parsa is 4 mil. A mil is 2,000 amos. So parsa is 8,000 amos. Okay? So between one wave and the other wave, there are 300 parsa. That's a pretty significant amount of distance. Well, what's the secret of that number 300? We'll see. Viruma de gala tlas mea parsi. And the height, the ruma of the gala, of the wave, is also 300 parsi. Zim lechada, one time, Hava azlinan ba'orcha, I was traveling on the way. Udalinan gala, and a wave lifted us up. I guess Rabbi Barachana says I was once on a boat with the chaver who travels by sea. And a wave lifted us up. Adichazinan be'marbase de kochva zuta. Like a lot of agaritas, you need a dictionary to know what's going on, right? The wave lifted us up. Adichazinan bay till we saw the place. The bay means like the bias, right? The place marbate, you can see on the page of the Rashbam, says Shchino, the dwelling place of the koichvazuta of the small star. The wave lifted us up so high in the sky. We saw the place. We saw the bias. We saw the place of the small star. V'havyali kimavazer arban grive bizra dechardala. And it appeared to me like the mivazer arba and grive, the place where one would scatter. Grive is a dry measure, like a saw. Arba and grive, 40 saw. It looks like the place where one would scatter 40 saw of bizra de chardala, 40 saw of mustard seed. The small star was as big as the field that one would use to plant 40 saw of mustard seed. And had we been lifted any higher, hava maklinan mehavle, we would have been burnt by the heat. We would have been burnt to a crisp. We would have crashed into the star, crashed into the sun. We would have been consumed by the heat. The ramila gala kala lechaverta, and all of a sudden one wave raised its voice, raised its kala, its call lechaverta. One of the waves called out to one of the other waves, and he said or she said. Chaverti, my fellow wave, shavakt midi ba'alma delo shetafte. Is there anything left in the world that you haven't washed away? So powerful, one wave calls the other wave. Is there anything left for me to crash my waters down upon? Dinesi ana una avde. Is there something left to destroy? Is there anywhere I can go that I could still, wreak havoc on the world? So the wave, these big powerful waves, says back, Amar le, puk chaze gevurta demarech. Go and see the strength of your master. What does that mean? Melo chuta chala lo avre. Go and understand, go and appreciate the strength of your master. You think I'm such a big powerful wave, I can destroy whatever I want? Everything is directed by the creator of the world. Puk chazi, go and see the strength of your master. Milo chuta, a single measure of a hair's breadth. Right? Of chala lo avrei. I don't cross one grain of sand more than I'm supposed to. You see this, sometimes you're standing, you know, you're standing on the seashore, you see this wave coming in, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is it. Right? And all of a sudden it crashes down and it goes exactly where it's supposed to go up to in the sand. Not a bit less, not a bit more. When it needs to come up and, you know, destroy the world, lo aleinu, so Hashem gives permission to that. But one wave says to the other wave, you think I can just do whatever I want? You think I choose what to destroy, when to destroy, how to destroy? Shenamar quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah, ha'osi lo sirau noam Hashem. Will they not fear me, says Hashem? Imi panai lo sachilu, will they not tremble before me? How could you not be afraid of Hashem? After all, says the pasuk, asher samti chol gavul liyam. Hashem says, look how precisely I run the world. I have arranged the sand as the border of the sea. I tell the water exactly where it can go and where it can't go. And if you see how powerful water is, Vuros Keshamim, right? Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGashem. We say it in Atta Gibor, Vuros Keshamim. The strength of water, the power of water. And yet, it's completely manipulated and controlled by Hashem. Chok Olam V'lo Yavrenu. That is the rules by which I run the world, not to be broken. Okay, so let's review the story one more time. So Rabbi Barachana says, again, they told me, the people who traveled by sea told me that between one wave and another wave there are 300 parsa, and the height of waves is 300 parsa. At one time a wave lifted us up. We were traveling and the wave lifted us up so high that we saw the place where the small star is, and it looked to me like an area large enough to scatter 40 saw of mustard seed, and had we gone any higher we would have been burnt up. And then I heard the waves conversing, and one wave said to the other, did you leave anything for me to destroy? Which the other wave gave Muslims, said, well, you think I choose to destroy whatever I want? Don't you realize I can't cross a single grain of sand without permission from the creator of the world? Okay? Ad kan Agarta. Anyone want to go first before the Golden Gaon takes a shot at it? Okay. These are wondrous stories. And what's so amazing is that the Golden Gaon picks it up, probably unlocks the Agarta for us, that every word is purposeful and meaningful and deep. Okay, so let's see the Bir HaGra at the bottom of the page. Bir HaGra. Let's see. Ben gala legala tlas mea parsa. First and foremost, we said between one wave and the next wave, there are 300 parsa. So we need to first understand what is a wave. And then we need to understand what are these measurements. So first, says the Vilna Gaon, a wave, da, you should know, ki kol hagalim heim tsaros hamisragshos lavo ba'olam. The waves of life are sort of the ups and downs of life. Right? A wave goes up, and it comes crashing down, and it picks itself back up, and it comes crashing down. The waves, right, the tumult of the waves, the crashing of the waves, the apparent quickly, you know, achieved success of the wave, and then everything comes tumbling down. All of life, the cycle of life, the ups and downs of life, the tsaros, that are misragshos lavo ba'olam, all the things that happen in this world, right? The struggle of this world, again, is like a person on the ocean, right? Our neshama is that little boat that's trying to make it through this yam, this fierce, raging yam of this world. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, kol mishbarecha vigalecha alai avaru. All of your breakers and all of your waves have passed over me. As that famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva traveling on a ship and his boat is broken into pieces, right? And he's holding on, he's clutching on to a little piece of wood for dear life. And Rabbi Akiva says, with each gal, with each wave that came his way, he ducks through it, he rides the waves. Right, you got to learn how to ride the waves. Life sometimes throws a lot of curveballs at you. You have to know how to navigate that, how not to drown. Olam Hazeh, this world, the tzaddikim say, the Rebbe of Alexander said that the word for teva, which means nature, right, is very much related to the word for drowning, litboa, because you could drown. Olam Hazeh is very dangerous. Making it through this world is a very dangerous thing. Okay. Picture Moshe Rabbeinu in his little basket sitting on the Nile River as there's death and destruction all around him. Jewish babies being killed, and somehow Moshe Rabbeinu, right, who's the captain of our ship, is somehow able to survive. But that little child in that little boat on the Nile River, the Nile representing the Avodah Zarah of the whole world, the Shorish of all of Gullis, and somehow being able to find safe passage through it is not a simple thing. So the waves represent all of the tsaros of this world. V'heim shluchei ha-satan. Right. And the waves, the various waves that come at you, are all messengers of the Satan. Yeah, please. What's your name, please?
Yaakov.
Hi, Yaakov.
Hi. Why would it be Saros? Because there are, in this specific case, there's 4 mil between each and every wave, and that's not how Saras work.
Right, right. The space. You're saying the space between the waves. Yeah. Right. It's interesting. Right. It's like that Medrash that says that the breaks in the Torah are to give us time to reflect and maybe to breathe a little bit. We were talking about in our shiur the other day in the morning. I know Parshas Vayechi is a Parshas Stuma. When you're in Gullis, you feel like there's not even space between the waves. Okay, so we'll have to see. He's going to tell us exactly. It's a good question. Let's see what the number 300 represents. Right, let's see why there is space between the waves. Right? Or maybe there's not space between the waves. Maybe the waves themselves are just so big and so vast, right, that it's a 300 long, you know, wave. Let's see if it means really Bein Gala Legala. Right? Does that mean that the gap between the waves or the wave itself? Let's see. So the Gras says, "V'heim shluchei ha-satan." The waves represent again the various attacks, the various things that the satan throws in our direction. "V'rasheim heim yud beis nesiim kol echad moshel chodesh echad." Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. Each chodesh presents itself with new opportunities and new challenges. The Gra tells us that there are 12 different heads, 12 different nesiim, 12 different, you know, leaders, so to speak, each corresponding to a different month. In other words, the Satan has sort of 12 different primary weapons that he uses against us, and each month has its own avoda. We know that Mitzad Kedusha, we know that Mitzad the Sitra Achra. And each month there's a different nasi, there's a different aspect of the Satan that is dominant in that particular month. And each and every day, right, the challenge gets more and more intense because that is the very nature of the Yetzer Hara. Turn the page. Because we know, Chazal tell us, right, it's just a harsh reality of existence. There's a Yiridas Hadoros. There's a natural atrophy. There's a downward pull. The Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, said that one of the reasons we have gravity in this world is to remind us that what? That there's something that's dragging us down. We're always being pulled down. We're always trying to be pulled under the water. And our job is to learn how to keep our head above water. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin, that one of the responsibilities of a parent to a child is a father has to teach his son how to swim. The Pasha Pshat is it's a safety precaution. But as the Avnei Nezer explained, the Rebbe of Sakachov said that when a person swims, your body's in the water, but your head has to be above the water. That's the main part of swimming, keeping your head above the water. Right? Knowing how to not drown. So we're all in the water, we're all deep in the water, but I have to learn how to keep my head above the water. Right? And our Father teaches us how to swim. We have to ask Avinu Shva Shemayim to help me to swim, to navigate my way through this world, because there's a downward pull. So every day, again, it's a very sad Gemara, it's paraphrasing Gemara and Sota, that every day the klala, the curse, the struggle gets, you know, seems to get more and more and more. And think about it, just the passage of time. Gullis drags on and drags on and drags on. Today was another day of living in Gullis. And that's tiring, that's exhausting, it's painful. Kamoshen Emer Bo'Avadia, as the Navi Ovadia says, Zidon Libcha Hishi Echa Im Tagbia Kanesher. Okay, so now let's start to understand. Let's start to understand exactly what is the struggle. Okay? So again, this ongoing struggle of being lifted up and being tossed around is what the Navi is describing, and that's what the waves are doing to us. Now, what's the 300? Vishior hilucho hu shlosh me'os parsa. The length of the span of this wave is 300 parsa. Why? Because b'chol yom asar parsos. The Gemara says in Psachim, the average amount that a person could travel in one day is 10 parsa. Which means over the course of a month, if we use 30 days, so that's 300 parsa. So sort of the travels, the adventures the Jew goes through in any month is sort of 300 parsa. Right? I mean, each wave, again, like the Gras said, there are these 12 waves that sort of correspond to the 12 months. Right? And throughout the course of that month, there's ups and downs. Each day, asara parsos. It's interesting. We know that, right, Avram Avinu was tested with 10 nisyonos, and the tzaddikim tell us that every Jew over the course of his lifetime goes through 10 nisyonos. But on a certain micro level, we go through those 10 nisyonos every day. Those are the 10 parsos that we travel on a daily basis. You know, so over the course of the month, we travel 300. We work our way through an entire section of the wave. Uvechodesh ein shloshim yom gomer mahalcho tlas mea parse. So over the course of a month, we travel 300 parsos. But it's a roller coaster. It's like riding a wave. Ki hilucho eino ela kafi hiluch b'nei adam bavonoseihem. And what's interesting is why are we measuring the size of the wave based on how much we would travel, how much a typical human would travel over the course of a month? Because the Yetzirah is responsive to us. In accordance with our behavior, the Yetzirah is going to try to match us along the way. So yes, the strength, the potency of the Yetzirah, whether it's a lot or a little, is going to be in response to sort of how I go about my month, how I travel through time. The bigger our averos become, the bigger, avera goraris avera, right? A certain negative trajectory leads to a further negative trajectory. So we have to sort of set the tone in sort of how we're going to navigate this wave. So that's what it means between one wave and the next. It may not be that the gap between the waves is 300 parsa, right? But so to speak, the length between one wave and the arrival of the new wave is 300 parsa. Klomar, Mishiyaschel mamshelas ha'echad adchilas mamshelas ha'gal ha'sheni. From one particular struggle to the next struggle is sort of this period of a month. Right? And again, each month has its opportunities and has its challenges. As we enter a month that often is associated with a certain bitterness, Mar Cheshvan. Right? Of course, Mar is also Ram, as the tzaddikim point out. It's a very elevated opportunity. It could be a bitter experience, it could be a very elevated experience. We'll see. If you remember, we saw it, and we'll get to it in a few moments, but the Gra doesn't say it out fully. But when they saw that star in the Shemayim, right, it was big enough to plant mustard seed. What's mustard? Mustard, on the one hand, is very bitter. To eat mustard seed plain is very bitter. On the other hand, mustard is a delicacy. You have a nice piece of pastrami, you put a little mustard on it. It's gewaldic. Right? It enhances. So again, is Mar Cheshvan the month where things start to fall apart? Like Tishrei is behind us now, and now we start to slip, the waves come crashing down. Everything we built during the month of Tishrei, all of our avoda, everything starts to fall apart. Or is Mar Cheshvan an opportunity to what? To sort of enhance, to somehow to touch up, to add a little flavoring to everything that we went through in Tishrei, even though it's not quite as exalted as the month of Tishrei, the strong month, right? The month that's known as Ha'itanim, the strong month. Okay? V'ruma degala tlas mea parsei. Says the Gra, the height of the wave is 300 parsa. K'moshen emar mirom shivto omer belibo mi yoridenu aretz. From the height, from the place, from his place on high, he calls out and says, who can bring me down? Right? Now, one of the big themes that the Gra is about to develop is the sense that what? That one of the main ways the Yetzirah gets us is through gaiva. It's not just that the Yetzirah picks us up and then throws us down. We become full of ourselves, and in our haughtiness, the bigger we rise up, the haughtier we make ourselves, so when we fall that much harder. If I think that I'm a very chush of a person, right? So then when I mess up, even just on a psychological level, on an emotional psychological level, if I hold myself to be a chush of person, I'm not talking about that I carry myself in a way that's an appropriate type of chashivas, as a ben melech, that we all are. But if I think I'm a chush of guy, if I think I'm a big shot, right? And then I stumble, so it becomes much more painful for that person because I had a warped perception of how great I was. And it's even the way I respond to my averas gaiva dick, because I think like, it's not a wholesome I'm better than this and I should try to work on my taivas and my yetzahara. It's that I'm a chashuv person, so I'm broken by my failures because I've created this image of myself of who I'm supposed to be. So the waves rise up very, very high. Says the Gra. Look at the next paragraph. Zimdachad havazlinan ba'orcha vidalinan galo. One time we were traveling and the wave lifted us up. Mamish to the stars. Listen to this. Perish. Inyan hisrom mushagalim vatsaros ba migaiva. All of the ups and downs, so much of the tsaros that we go through in life is because of gaiva. Because I feel that I deserve. I'm a chashuv person. How dare you talk to me like that? Right, you feel slighted. You feel like everything. You deserve everything. So you dive into Hashem. You ask for something, and Hashem says, "I'm telling you, it's not for you." And now you're mad at God. You think you know better than Hashem. It didn't work out. The shidduch didn't work out. The job didn't work out. The chavrusa didn't work out. Life is throwing you difficulties, and you're taking it too personally because you're a bal gaiva. Because you're not. You don't have a proper sense of bittul. Because if you had a proper sense of bittul, you would say, "Wherever Hashem wants me to be, that's where I'm supposed to be." If it was supposed to work out, then it would have worked out. I don't have to be all tzabrachin about it. That's gaiva. So many of the tsaros are self-imposed because we have, you know, we allow ourselves to be lifted up in a way that becomes dangerous, becomes threatening. Shemitchila hayetzer magbia aslev ha'adam va'achar kach shovro. Because again, the higher you are, the sharper the fall is. The Yetzirah lifts up the heart of a person. He gives you a false sense of pride, and then he breaks you. As the Pasuk says, Lifnei Shever Gaon. Right? Before shattering comes pride. Yetzirah lifts you up, he makes you think that you're a big shot, and then he crushes you. Va'inyan hu, and now look at this next paragraph, it's so beautiful. It's so true. Va'inyan hu kishamaschil la'adam leilech b'derach ha'tov, va'amesila ha'ola beis el. When a person starts to walk on the path, he starts to find his way towards Hashem, and he's davening nicely, and he's learning nicely. He has to be so careful. When he's doing well in avodas Hashem, he has to be so careful that it doesn't go to his head in the wrong way. Az yisromim v'yizgal libo miyad. Because so quickly, the guy who's just a little bit older than you, right? The guy who was in 12th grade when you were in 11th grade, and now he's Shana Bet, and you're Shana Aleph, and he talks to you as if he's like the Gadol Ador, and as if like you're a piece of dirt. Because he's a little more advanced in his learning than you. Right? The guy becomes very quickly. A person all of a sudden, he makes a siyam out of a sechta, and he thinks like, you know, oh, you never made a siyam before. Looks at his chavrus, oh, you didn't finish the mesechta. Right? So don't look at the person who's a little bit behind you. Look at the person who's a lot ahead of you. Look about a real tzad, we got a real Talmud Chacham. I don't know anything about anything. But as soon as a person starts to travel on the path, immediately the gaiva comes. Va'amru b'zohar, on the pasuk of orach tzadikim ko'or noga, the way of a tzadik is like the or noga. It's like light that emerges slowly, slowly, when the sun comes up in the morning. A little bit more light, a little bit more light, a little bit more light. It's a gradual process. Holech va'or. Right? It goes. It moves forward and increases its light ad nechon hayom, until the day is properly set, properly established. That's the way of a tzaddik. Shafela. But the way of what? The way of a rasha is like darkness, because darkness, right? Darkness is much more absolute. Light, there's degradations of light. You could be in a room where there's a little light with a lot. Right? Darkness is more absolute. The way of the rasha is more singular. Lo yadu b'mayika shelu, and like the person who's in the dark, you don't even realize what you're stumbling over. You don't have the vision, you don't have the perspective. So says the Gra, an amazing thing. Why is it by the tzaddik, it calls it an orach? What's an orach? An orach means a path, not a main road. The way of the tzaddik is the orach, right? The first section of the Shulchan Aruch, orach chaim, right? Orach chaim, the path of life. An orach. Tzaddik travels an orach where light emerges little by little. The way of the rasha is like the darkness, but it's not called a path, it's called a derech. The rasha has a derech. Interesting. So says the Gra, Masha hizkir etzel rishaim derech ve'etzel tzaddikim orach. Why does the rasha travel on the derech, and why does the tzaddik travel on the orach? What's the difference? The derech is a path that's what? That's been traveled by many people. The orach is kind of the back roads. Now, which one's better? So you'll say, it's easier to travel on a road that's been well trodden. But if I look statistically at how most people who've ever lived their life, right, so to speak, the main road, it's not that geschmack. It's not that great. It's not the path I want to be on. I want to be on the path of what? Of resistance. I want to be on the path of the tzaddikim. I don't want to be on the road that most human beings travel on. That road's fast, it's easy, yes, it's the highway, it's well paved, you can drive really fast, you know, you can roll down the windows, let the air blow through your hair, yeah, it feels fun, but it's not a thoughtful path. The tzaddik says, I'm going to take the back road. It's a little quieter, do a little hesbodas by a tree on the way, you know, I'll stop off, I'll find my way, I'll chart a path. It's not well trodden, it's not an off-traveled path. When I was in eighth grade, my eighth grade English teacher made us memorize the Robert Frost poem, "The Road Not Taken." Is that what it's called? "The Road Not Taken." Right? It's a beautiful poem. I love the poem. I actually have it hanging in my house. Such a beautiful poem. Right? Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Right? It's a guy standing at a crossroad and like wondering like which derech should I take in life. And he looks down one row, and it's like, it's smooth, it's easy. It's like, this is like the simple path. But the simple path is easy for a reason. It's not a geschmack adventure. You know what you're signing up for. It doesn't challenge you. It doesn't bring out your kochos hanefesh. And of course, at the end of the poem, right? I took the road less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. I took the orach hatzadikim. I didn't take the derech of the rasham. It's a faster path. It's an easier path. It may be a more fun path, but it's not an emistic path. So says the Gra, right? The derech rasham ka'afela. The orach tzadikim ko'or noga, mipnei, top of the left column, mipnei shederech resham kvusha. The way of the Rasha is well known, because there's been a lot of people who lived a very meaningless life in this world, where their whole life comes down to their favorite sports team and their favorite bar to get a drink after a long work week. It's a well-known path. Lots of people travel on that path. Listim kamosam kivshua, right? Robbers, bandits. Like this Rasha himself have paved the way. Lo kein orach tzadikim. Not so the way of the tzaddik. E efshar lahasig derech hachayim berega echad. The tzaddik takes a path where the steps have to be more calculated. You can't conquer the path in one shot. You can't drive like a meshugana person down that path or you'll wreck yourself. You have to go slow and you have to be contemplative. It's a derech hachayim. You can't conquer this derech hachayim berega echad. Ela ka'or noga, rather like the emerging light, like the pasuk says, what? Holeich va'or, where it takes a step and a little more light, ad nechon hayom, until everything emerges in the way that it's supposed to emerge. That's the proper derech that a person's supposed to travel in this world. Okay? So again, what happens when we start to travel? There's a fear of going too fast. If you're driving too fast, that means you're on the Rasha's highway. You're not on the tzaddik's back road. So we have to slow down a little bit. We have to be careful we don't become Bali Gaiva. Yes, celebrate your spiritual successes, but don't let it go to your head. So says Rabbi Barachana, one time I was traveling on a boat. Zim Nachada, Vizel Amru, Zim Nachada, one time, Nechusa Yama Sipulo. Right? They told me. The who told me? The Nechusa Yama, the people who are always traveling at sea, the people who are always in the ocean, who are always in the struggle, who are in the thick of it. Shekol Yameim Hayim Biyam Umitzulas Olam Haza. People who are mamish, sunken into Olam Haza. They live really deeply entrenched in Olam Haza. So you know what happened? You know what these fellows on the ship shared with Rabbi Rachana? They said, Pam Achas, one time, Hischil Lelech B'derech HaTov. One time, we started to travel the proper path. Right? V'higbiya oso shluchei asatan b'geyas levavo. What does it mean, one time? It means like, imagine, a person has like one good Shmona Esrei, and all of a sudden, I'm like the best da'at. He has this dimio, like, I'm like the greatest da'aver that ever was. So this chevra, who's always out on the ocean, right? These fellows who are always on the boat, who are living in the waters, all of a sudden, one time, they started to contemplate their life a little bit, you know? They started to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and immediately the sultan came and what? And lifted them up to crazy heights. But that's very dangerous. The sultan immediately sent a wave to lift them up, right? A gaiva of the heart. Ad chazin an marvasa de koch vezuta. Till we saw what? We saw the place of the stars. Now, what are the stars? Who are the stars? It says the grav of Neshi Yisrael nimshalu lekochav. We know the Jewish people are compared to the stars. Kamosha amru ki nafol tipol lefanav. Like it says in Megillas Esther. If you started to fall before the Jewish people, fall you shall fall. What's this double lashon of falling? Says the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Darash of Yehuda Bar Ilai, Shtei Nafilos Elu Lama. What is the nature of these two falls? Malamed Sha'amru Lo. They said to Haman, Umazo, this nation, Mashula La'afar V'nimshal L'Kochavim. The Jewish people were an extreme people. We're compared to the stars. We're compared to the dust. When we fall, Kishain Yardin, when a Jew is in a low place, Yardin ad afar. Because we have so much potential, when we're down, we can be really down. The Jewish people, lo aleinu, it's painful to say, but some of the greatest, most destructive things, ideologies, ways of living that were ever created in this world were created by Jews. Right? Obviously not Jews who are Torah observant Jews, because their ideologies are anti-Torah. But there's many creations. I'm talking about physical creations and social ideologies that were created by Jews. right? Things which are very low. And at the same time, the Jews are compared to stars, because when a Jew lives his life the way he's supposed to, Kishen Olin, Olin Ad L'Rakia. So the Jewish people, they're very extreme, right? Sometimes they're mamish the highest, sometimes they're mamish the lowest. We're mamish lowly slaves of Mitzrayim. Shortly thereafter, we're getting the Torah at Har Sinai. We're an extreme people. V'chol shekein tzadikim. And the same thing is certainly true for tzadikim, right? That was, if the Jewish people, begadol, are compared to stars sometimes, or also compared to dirt sometimes, but tzadikim, those are the stars. U'matztike harabim kekochavim li'olam ve'ed. Right? Like it says, the pasuk in Daniel, that the tzaddikim, matzdike harabim, those who are matzdik, those who have a positive hashpa on the tzibur, are like stars that shine forever. Tzaddik's like a star. Because a star also is huge, much bigger than you ever could imagine. You think you know. You see, you go over to Rav Shechter, and you ask Rav Shechter a question, right? And you're like, wow, Rav Shechter, he really knows how to learn. You know, his bekiyas is unbelievable. You ask him a question, he gives you an answer. Oh yeah, it's a tosfos in Zvachim. Right? It's like looking at a star. Right? It's beautiful, it's so bright, what you just saw. But it's nothing compared to what it really is. You're looking at it, you look up at the sky, you're like, wow, look at that star. Right? That tiny little star, it's beautiful. That tiny little star is huge. So you don't appreciate it. The tzaddik is much bigger, a true tzaddik is much, much bigger than we ever could imagine. And what happens? This chevra, these guys on the boat, they sat down to learn one time, and all of a sudden, they're like, oh yeah, we approached one of the small stars. You think you're a star now? That's gaiva. V'nidme l'nachus yama, those who travel by sea, it appeared to them, right, hakatan shabanu gadol maod, right? The lowest amongst us, all of a sudden they thought they were like the greatest. Like, oh yeah, we're superstars. You think you're a star? And when they approached the stars, they saw something. What did they see? They saw that it was how do you pronounce the word? Kimavazer arban grive birza dechardala. Right, it looked like the place that one would scatter 40 saw of mustard seed. Kamosha amru amru biyochanan mishum rishum bayochai may dichsiv ashrechem zore al kolmayim mishalchi regal ashur vachamor. What does the navi mean? What does the navi Yeshaya mean when he says ashrechem, those who plant by all water? Says the Gemara, kola osik b'tor gmilas chasadim zocha lenachlas shnei shvatim. Says the Gra, l'chora b'pashta the krav v'chem b'drasha milas kol hu miyusar. The Navi Yeshaya says, Ashreichem, you should be zocha to what? To be zore al kol mayim. To plant by all waters. Why not just say, Ashreichem zore al mayim? What does the word kol mayim come to teach us? It should have just said, zore al mayim. Says the Gra, v'nira shatorah nimshal al mayim. We know that Torah is compared to water. If you want to become a star, you have to be someone who has sheiches to what? To kol mayim. If you're just going to dabble in Torah, Torah can actually make you into a bal gaiva. If you're a person who immerses himself deeply in Torah, Torah will humble you. That's the very nature of Torah. Torah is compared to water, the Gemara says, because just like water trickles down to the lowest point, Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest Talmud Chacham ever. He's the greatest. He is the one who teaches us Torah. The Torah is called by his name, Zichru Toras Moshe. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu is what? Is Anav Mikol Adam. Because that's part and parcel of the Torah experience, being a humble person. So if you're going to dabble a little bit in Torah, you're going to become a Bal Gaiva from Torah. But if you mevatel yourself to Torah, if you immerse yourself like a mikvah, as you'll see the Vilna Gaon is about to say, if you throw yourself completely into the Torah, then Ashrech. Then we can give you Ashkoach. Then you're worthy of the title. Then you become like one of the stars. You know why Torah is compared to water? Because Torah purifies like water. But again, if you go into the mikvah and you don't put your entire being into it, it doesn't work. So continuing on the top of the next page, Kamosha Amru, like the Gemara says in Brachos, why does the Pasuk make reference of tents next to rivers? What's the connection between an oel and a nachal? As the pasuk says, "Kinacholim nitayu, kaganos alei nahar, ka'ohalim nata Hashem." Right? The pasuk says, "Like brooks that are stretched out, and like gardens by the rivers, so too there are tents that Hashem has expanded before you." What's the connection between rivers and tents? Says the Gemara in Brachos, "Lomer lecha, Just like going into the river, going into the mikvah, transforms a person. So too, the ohel is malim es ha'odim mikaf chova l'kaf schus. Going into the Torah, going into the Beis Medrash, transforms a person. But you've got to go all in. If you're only going to dabble in it, it's going to actually potentially have a negative effect on a person. So these nechusei yama, these people who are swimming in gashmias, one time they decided to have a little bit of a spiritual experience. And it's an authentic experience. But look how quickly they became balei gav. Like, oh yeah, we're approaching the stars. We're mamish right next to the stars. So they have to be reminded, they have to see that what? That to be next to the stars, you need an area that's big enough to plant what? 40 sa of chardal. 40 sa, that's the measure of a mikvah. That's the measure of a mikvah. Ulefamim ola b'dayto shel adam teikaf kishamaschla adam lilmod. Sometimes a person thinks as soon as he begins to learn, hu nitar, I'm pure. Right? I came to shir for one day and I'm a pure person. Right? Wow, I'm a different person. And you are, it's true. But the Yetzer Hara, kvar nifrad mimenu. He thinks, I already defeated the Yetzer Hara. Right? In such a short period of time, I changed myself completely. Lakach nemar al kol mayim. Says the pasuk, Ashrechem zore al kol mayim. You got to get all the way into the water. Kemosha mayim ena metarin elabar abayim sa. Just like the mikvah doesn't purify unless you go into a proper mikvah. It has to be a proper shiur. You have to immerse yourself completely. And the idea of 40 saw, Chazal say, is mayim shekol gufo ola behem. Something that you can put your entire body into, like the Gemara says in Erevin. Kach betorah ad shekol gufo yichases. So too, when it comes to Torah, you have to be prepared to what? To break every bit of yourself over Torah. To surrender every bit of yourself to Torah. If your heart's in Torah, but your mind is not in Torah, then you're not in Torah. If your mind's in Torah, but your heart's not in Torah, then you're not in Torah. If your intellect's in Torah, but your body's not in Torah, then you're not in Torah. Right? If one foot is still hanging outside, so you're not full. You haven't immersed yourself completely in Torah, in the mikvah of Torah. Like Chazal say, Yetzaharim shol lechardal. The Yetzahar is like mustard. Why is the Yetzahar like mustard? Because the Yetzahar is actually very good for us if we use it properly. The Yetzahar can motivate a person. It's a malach Hashem tzavakos. The same way a little bit of mustard with a lot of, if you have a good dip and you have, right, mostly bread and meat, and you have some nice dips, the dips are, they're great, they're very geschmack, it enhances. But no one's mustard by itself. No one's going to eat the dip by itself. So the Yetzirah is operating. If he's in charge, if he's dominating your life, it's nothing but bitterness. But if you use the koch of the Yetzirah, the drive of the Yetzirah, if you bring him into the mikvah with you, so to speak, right, like the Gemara says, if the Yetzirah sh'adam is gabra love, Mashcheyu lebeis hamedrash. Why do I need to bring the Yetzirah to the Beis Medrash? How about I just run to the Beis Medrash and leave the Yetzirah on the street? No, because he can help you in the Beis Medrash. He's very passionate. He has a lot to offer. He just needs to be harnessed. He needs to be controlled. So the Yetzirah is like chardal. Ma chardal mar ve'ein yachol lechol ela al yedei ketisha. Just like the mustard seed needs to be ground up. You can't just eat it plain. It needs to be ground up. It needs to be refined. It needs to be turned into a powder, into a paste. It needs to be consumed in the proper measure. You need to be in charge of it. Kein haTorah mateshes kochos shel adam. So too, when a person surrenders himself to Torah, when he uses all of his kochos, he grinds himself up over Torah. As Chazal say, lama nikra shema tushia. Why is Torah called tushia? Shema teshes kochos shel adam. If you're exhausted after a day of learning, that's good. That means you put your kochos into it. That means you surrendered your body to Torah. You gave your energy, you gave your life to Torah. V'chein darshu al shemen zayezach kosis, shemen zayezach. Right? The oil of the menorah, which is Torah, it has to be crushed. The oil has to be crushed. The olive need to be crushed. And that's what it means. That's what the Gemara says. It was kimavazer arban grive bizur dechardla. The star, when you see a real star up close, you realize that what? It has to be the size that you could plant 40 sav charda. What does that mean, 40 sav, mustard seed? Chardal represents Ramzu al Ketishas Meriras Hayetzer Ba'ol HaTorah. Crush your Yetzirah, right, with the yoke of Torah. Bimavatal Yetzirah. V'chubal Shemen Shal Yetzer Mepnei Ol Torah. He's paraphrasing a pasuk in Yeshaya. To break the yoke, right, with the Shemen of Torah. Free yourself from the shackles of the Yetzirah. And then the Yetzirah can actually be your friend. Once you crush up the mustard seed, and then you add it to the main dish, it's geschmack, it's very good, it's very tasty. Why is it arba and grive? Again, why is it 40 sa, says the Gra? Hushir shal meitara. Because that's the measure of a mikvah. And again, a proper Torah experience is a fully immersive experience. V'atorah nimshul l'mayim, the Torah is compared to those waters. Okay, continue on the left column. Let's finish up a couple more minutes. V'id alinan tvei hava meklinan mehavlei. But be so careful when you rise up, because if you don't realize what that star is teaching you, what a real Talmid Chacham looks like, you start to think you're buddy-buddy with Talmidei Chachamim. You see yourself as, you know, they're equal, because you've been learning for a couple of minutes, and you know a little bit of Yeshiva Shahak, and you know a couple of words in the Sugya, and all of a sudden you're talking in a way that's not Lefi Madregaso. You have to be very careful. Because what happens? What is an offshoot? What is the cousin or the brother of Gaiva? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, there are two midos, there are two character traits we have to distance ourselves from entirely, and they're one and the same, really. Gaiva and Kas, anger. And they're very, very deeply related. Anger, right, is associated, well, the truth is both of them. Gaiva and Kas are associated with fire. In the writings of the Arizal, in the writings of Chaim Vital, when he matches up the various midos with various kochos in the world. So fire is associated with what? With Gaiva and Kas. A person who's gaivadik, he lifts himself up like a fire that's always rising higher, always leaping higher. Right? A person who's anger, a person who's fired up. Right? So what happens? You ride this wave, all of a sudden you're riding the wave to the top. Right? You're a big bal gaiva. You're so close to being burnt up. Says the Gra, ki sofo madrega hal yona shel gaiva. When you get to the top of gaiva, you know where that leaves you? Humidas hakas. Because if you think you're better than everyone, you feel you can yell at anyone and everyone. You can be angry about everything. Everyone's out to get you. No one's good enough for you. Va'amru kol ha'koes shechina mistalekes v'menu. And when a person is a person of kas, the shechina leaves that person. In the writings of the Arizal, it says that when a person acts with gaiva or kas, their neshama flies out of their body. Which means you're a dead man. You don't have a neshama anymore. You're a walking dead person. So Rabbi Rachana said, when I saw how these fishermen, these guys on the boat, right, the fellows on the boat, so quickly they thought they were on the top. They were half a step away from being burnt to a crisp. They were entering into the world of Kas, and Kas is a death sentence. The Shechina leaves you. Va'amru b'tanis, even though the Gemara tells us in Tanis, Hait surva d'rabanan d'rasach, if you see a young, fiery Talmid Chacham, O'raisa d'ratachas bay, it's his Torah that's burning within him. Because again, if you learn how to harness that energy, it's very powerful. It is very powerful to have a certain anger, you know? If you ever saw real Milchamta Shel Torah, you see two guys in the base medrash screaming at each other, fighting with each other, yelling, angry at each other. Remember the first time I saw that in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? There were these two Israeli Kol guys. I was like, I didn't know what was going on. I thought someone was going to get killed. They're roaring at each other, fighting over a tosu. It was like, what is this? Is this how you're supposed to learn Torah? It was kas, red in the face. But that's a holy kas. Right? But you have to be so careful because it could so quickly become a kas that's destructive. And therefore, says Rabbi Barachana, idalinan tvei b'midas ha-gaiva. Had my gaiva gone a little bit higher, hainu nisrafin me'esh ha-kas. It would have been burnt to a crisp from that evil midah of kas. Okay? And then last but not least, we have to wrap up with the conversation of the waves. So that's Aleph, right? That was the first part of the Agarata, right? The waves represent, again, 300 parsa, the challenge of each month, the ups and downs of each month, and how a person has to be so careful that he thinks he rises up to the Koch Vazuta, he thinks all of a sudden he's right next to a small star. He doesn't realize how big the star is, right? Because the Talmid Chacham, with his humility, hides his Madregos, and this guy is not hiding his Madregos, he thinks he's a big Baal Madrego. And then he starts to realize, hopefully, he realizes, wait a minute, I got to put myself fully in the mikvah. I need to crush myself like mustard seed if I want to become a real person of Torah. Because if I just keep on this trajectory of going up and up and up and up, I'm going to hit the top of Gaiva, which is Kas, and I'm going to self-destruct. I'm going to destroy myself. Then he heard the conversation of the waves, where one wave said to his friend, did you leave me anything left in this world to destroy? In Yano, Kishamaskil Hagal Hasheni Limshol, Amrlo Legal Sha'avar, when the second wave starts to rise up, it says to the first wave, the one that came before it, Klum Hinachta Shum Adam Shlo Afachto Lara. When the next wave of Gaiva comes around, it says, I see that so many people carry themselves with such a lack of self awareness, with such a lack of humility. It's really an amazing thing. You get out into the secular world a little bit, and you just see people are so full of themselves, so self-centered. You go for a job interview, and you have to like play the part a little bit. But the guy on the other side of the desk, you're like, what character are you trying to play? Like, you're not a real person, carrying yourself like, okay, you make a lot of money, yeah, you drive a nice car, so what? So what? You lose yourself in it. Right? So the next wave comes around, and it says, okay, the next wave is also ready to conquer the world. Right? But then the wave, of course, is humbled by the Creator himself, because every wave comes crashing down. Amr lei puch chazi gavurta demarach. Go see the strength of your master, how everything is arranged according to the sands. The bottom paragraph, last paragraph on the page. You know who puts the Baal Gaiv in his place? The Tzaddik. The master is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the Tzaddikim were the true partners of Hashem in this world. The Tzaddikim, what? They represent sort of the boundaries, the borders of the sea. This guy who's flying down the Derech of the Rasha, he's speeding in his fancy car down the road of the Rasha, the Derech Hashem Kafela, driving through the darkness of this world, out of control. All of a sudden, he encounters a real tzaddik, and he stops in his tracks. You can have people who are living a totally, totally disconnected lifestyle, and they have one that's countless, an endless sipurei tzaddikim like this, of someone who met a tzaddik for a second, and like, whoa, all of a sudden, like, the way that when Yosef says, Ani Yosef, Ovad Avicha, 22 years like that, click into place. The whole thing snaps into place. Chavetz Chaim writes to Chavetz Chaim al Torah on that parsha that the same thing's going to be true. When Mashiach comes, Mashiach's going to say, Hi, Ani Mashiach. Hashem's going to say, Hi, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And like, all the dimyonos of this world, in a second, the whole thing's going to crumble. Everything's going to be crystal clear. It can happen that fast. One encounter with real Kedusha, with real Emes, it answers all the questions. It shakes us from all of our gaiv and all of our self-deception. So the tzaddikim are, so to speak, what? That sand that stops the wave from doing whatever it wants in this world. As the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Yehuda Nasiya, Ramad Deshura Ad Rabbanan. One time, Bava Basra Dav Zayin, one time, Yehuda Nasiya, they placed a tax on the rabbis. They made them pay for what? For building a wall. A wall protected the city. They wanted the rabbis to pay for it. Amar Lei, Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Rabbanan Lo Tzvicha in the Tirusa. The rabbis don't have to pay for protection. They've got God watching out. They don't need to pay for security. Dechsiv, Esperem Mechol Yerbun. If I were to count them, they would be more numerous than sand. Says the Gemara Laman. Who is that talking about? Right? Are there really more tzaddikim in the world than sand? Tzaddikim are few and far between. Says the Gemara Ela'elu Ma'aseyin Shel Tzaddikim. You have no idea. We think we know. You watch a tzaddik and you see his hanhagos and you say, this person is... I know the tzaddik learns Torah all day. You don't even know. He has more hours in a day than you even can imagine. What you've seen is still a tiny, tiny... You've seen a tefach. He's Megala Tefach of who he really is. Right? It's infinite. It's like it'd literally be like counting the sand, the grains of sand on the ocean. That's how big a tzaddik is. The Kal V'Chomer. So therefore, says the Gemara, Kal V'Chomer. U'machol, turn to the last page. U'machol Shemuad, Megin Aliyam. If a little bit of sand can stop a big wave, if a humble little piece of sand, a little bit of Afar, a little bit of sand, can put a big wave in its place, the behaviors, the actions of the tzaddikim, which are much greater than all the sand in the world, right? That it serves to protect them. As the Gemara says in Sukkah, at first the Yitzhahara appears to a person like what? Like the strand of what? Of a spider's web, which is very strong. Right? The material of a spider's web is actually very strong, but it's also very thin. It can easily be removed. But if you don't stop the Yitzhahara in its tracks, if you let that wave rise and rise and rise and rise, if you don't humble yourself, if learning Torah makes you a Baal Gaiv instead of a humble Jew, if you don't immerse yourself fully in Torah, if you think it's enough to just dabble a little bit in Torah and expect it to transform your life, then over the course of time, what's going to happen is the Yitzhahara is going to keep what? Lifting you up, and he's going to take those strands of that spider web, and he's going to weave it into what? Into the ropes of a wagon, the avosos agala, into thick, heavy ropes. About tzaddikim enam anichim, lispatos meyayetzer afilu kachot. But the tzaddikim stop the yitzhara dead in their tracks. The same way that the sand stops the water exactly where it's supposed to stop, the tzaddik says the yitzhara right off the bat, no, we're not going there. Yosef a tzaddik. Eishes potivar, come, let's talk about it. No. I'm out of here. Not for me. And therefore, even though Yitzhar Shal Adam is Gabra Lav B'chol Yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozer, even though Yitzhar is trying to get strong, he wants to make your life more difficult each and every day, Puk Chazi Gevurta D'marach, go see the strength of your master. Go learn from the tzaddik and what it means to stop the Yitzhar in his tracks and not to even engage. Shenemar, as the Gemara quoted the Pasuk, Ha'usi lo sironu Hashem, do not fear me, says Hashem. Imi panai lo sachilu, asher samti chol gvul layam, chok lo yavirenu. Perush, lama lo tiro milafanai, how could you not be afraid of me? Vim tomu yetzahara inam aniyach osanu. And if you'll say, but the yetzahara is so hard, Hashem, how do you expect me to fear you in this world? The yetzahara is so powerful. So Hashem says back to us, by way of the Navi Yirmiyah, Valo samti chol gvul layam. A little bit of sand can stop a big wave in its tracks. If you know who you are, you could stop the Yitzhar in its tracks. Don't tell me it's impossible, it's too hard. Like the tzaddikim, we don't even let it become a spider web, let alone to allow it to weave itself into a thick rope that enslaves you. That's the way of the tzaddik. Says the Gron, the final paragraph, V'sipur shel Rabba Rachana zeu al midas ha-gaiva v'sofo midas ha-kas. So in summation, this little crazy tale that the Gemara tells us, this wondrous story, is really the story of the dangers of gaiva, and the dangers of kas, and the dangers of driving a little too fast, and being a little too big in this world. V'sidr oso al seder ha-psukim. And he reminds us that again, that all of this is hinted to in the psukim, in the words of David HaMelech. In Tehillim capital what? In Tehillim capital Kuf Zayin, which the Baal Shem Tov established, we should say, on Erev Shabbos, as we transition from Shabbos, from a week, from the Shish Simeachol into Shabbos. Right? What do the Pesukim say there? Yorde Hayam Ba'anios, those who go down to sea, Ose Malacha B'mayim Rabim. The ones who are involved in great work, B'mayim Rabim. Right? A lot of Ramazim here. Right? Rabim represents the, B'nai Yisachar says Rabim is the four exiles, Romi, Bavel, Yavan, and Madai. So as the Jew is out at sea, he's finding his way through this world. They see wondrous things. Rabbi Rachana says, if you keep your eyes open, that's the whole point. Why do all his stories take place on the ocean? Because if you keep your eyes, yes, I know there's a lot of water and it's dangerous. And there's a lot of scary things. And some of the stories you'll see, unbelievable tales, scary things. Right? But if you're paying attention, David HaMelech says, you can see niflos on the sea. Vayomer vayamid ruch sa'ara v'teromim galav. And we just learned the next pasuk. Vayomer v'yamed ruach sara, a strong wind will come, and the waves will rise up. Yalu shamayim, yerdu tahomos. You have to be so careful when you're riding the waves of this world. And he ends by quoting Yonah, and something that he describes more at length in his parish in Yonah, that Yonah, of course, right, is the ultimate example of a person who's failing to embrace their mission in this world. Yonah is sent on a difficult mission. He knows it's hard. He's scared. He tries to run away from it. And Hashem doesn't allow it. Hashem sends a strong wind, v'haniyachi shavali shaver, and the Yonah's boat's about to be shattered into pieces. He says, go look in my parish over there. V'sipur hasheni, but the second story is hinted to again in these psukim of David HaMelech, v'saromeim galav, the waves that rise up. The danger of the gaiva that leads us to kas. The danger of comparing and thinking that we're tzaddikim because we had a little bit of a spiritual breakthrough. But again, also the strength that we get from the tzaddikim would teach us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can give us the ability to stop the Yitzhar in his tracks. And yes, sometimes we have to take the road less traveled. We have to take those back roads at the tzaddik where each step is a little more calculated, a little more painstaking each step of the way. And we have to be prepared to crush ourselves like the mustard and to immerse ourselves fully in the mikvah to make sure that the Torah experience is transformative in a full way. Okay, Chava, that's what we learned tonight. A question, a comment. I'm sorry it was a little long tonight. Usually we're going to try to keep it to about closer to 40 minutes. I apologize.
So the tzaddik is compared to the home of
Azizah? Yeah. Well, I think part of it is, I think this Baal Gaiva is assessing the star as a kochav zuta, right? He thinks he's not so impressed by the star, right? Meaning, before I started to learn, I thought like, wow, this Talmud Chacham is like mamish, the brightest light in the world. But now I learned that he's like a small star, like I'm catching up to him so quickly. Right? He thinks. But he has to remember, and again, that's part of the perspective, the same way that when we, from our lowly, earthly perspective, look up at the sky, and we see a star, and it's beautiful, but it appears small, if we were to actually travel towards that massive ball of gas in the sky, we'd see it's quite remarkable. It's much bigger than we ever could have imagined. So the same thing is true. When we get close to the tzaddikim, we don't look up to the tzaddik. I myself, I'm only seeing what appears to be a small star. And the more I have to realize that this star really takes up the space of what? Of a full mikvah, of a person who's crushed and transformed every bit of his being through his fight against the Yetzer Hara. That's, I think, what's being merumas here. Okay, amazing stuff. Thanks for coming. We're still going to do it again.